May be seated. If you would turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. My subject this morning, the marks of the blood covenant. You can just leave those there for a while. So if anyone wants to bring an offering, if the Lord speaks to you, we'll leave those out for a few more minutes there. But thank you for your faithfulness in giving to those that are in need. I preached three sermons recently. The blood covenant, the power behind the blood covenant, another one on covenant, don't let the devil foul up your faith, and this one this morning, the marks of the blood covenant. When Jesus cut the new covenant at Calvary, he bled from seven places, and each of those marks are significant because Jesus redeemed us spirit, soul, and body. He did not leave out anything when it comes to your salvation, your healing, your well-being, and your prosperity. At Calvary, Jesus poured out his precious blood from seven places on his body. And those seven places, each one of them, they provide something that is associated with your redemption. The blood covenant is an everlasting covenant. Next to marriage, the blood covenant is the oldest covenant known in human history. And when you enter into covenant with God, it means something. The Bible says when you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That word believe means a lot more than most Christians realize. It means to make an unqualified committal to God. It is to say that all I am or all I will ever be belongs to God. And guess what? That also means that everything God has belongs to you, and that you an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hallelujah. Everything God has belongs to you, and everything you have belongs to God because you have entered into a blood covenant with the Most High God. Look at my text, Hebrews 13 and 20. Look at this. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, look at it, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Do you see that? To do his will, not to do your will. Everything you have belongs to God. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. My subject, the marks of the blood covenant. Brother Philip, would you come bless us? Brother Philip was on fire. If you don't go to Sunday school this morning, I tell you, this man was on fire teaching and preaching his Sunday school lesson. If you can get to Sunday school, I encourage you to come. It will help you to grow in grace and knowledge. You'll get a chance to ask questions in there and be a part of it. Brother Philip. Amen.
Father God, we thank you today for this day that's set aside that we can come and worship you. Thank you for your presence in our midst. Your word tells us where two or three are gathered together in your name, you're there too. And we just welcome you today. We ask you to anoint this service, anoint our pastor with the Holy Ghost that came down from heaven. Give him that anointing that makes preaching easy. Give us ears and hearts that are open and receptive to your word, anointed to hear it, to receive it, and wills that are anointed to obey it and act upon it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Now, the old covenant was the basis on which the new covenant was founded. Jesus, just like every Jewish male, he had to be circumcised and he had to receive the mark of the covenant. Jesus was only 8 days old when he shed his blood for the first time. Mary and Joseph, they carried him to the temple to be circumcised. And this runs parallel with Genesis chapter 17, where God told Abraham, "And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant." We read about that everlasting covenant in Hebrews chapter 13. God said, if you want to be my people, if you want my blessings upon your life, then you must enter into that by the shedding of blood, and I want the mark of the covenant on your body. And the Bible says that Abraham was circumcised, and the blessings of God came upon him and his seed after him. So every Jewish male child had to be circumcised in order to become a covenant child. And when Jesus was 8 days old, he was circumcised in order to fulfill the requirements of the Abrahamic covenant. And when Jesus was circumcised, it meant not only could you be blessed, could you prosper and be healed and be strengthened, but the blessings that came upon your life would come upon your children and those that you reproduce. Now, listen to me. I don't want you to miss this. That's why the mark of the covenant was placed where it was through circumcision. That was God's way of saying, anything you reproduce has my blessing upon it. Isn't that wonderful? Anything you reproduce has God's blessing upon it if you have entered into the covenant. The blood covenant is so sacred that God says, if you will only obey me, then my blessings will come upon you and come upon your children. And the truth is this, if you are in covenant with Jesus Christ, God is watching over your children. God didn't leave anything out when it came to your redemption. Jesus fulfilled every requirement of the law. At Calvary, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. The Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that were under the law. But Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. And look at this, Galatians 3:13. It says so right here in Paul's revelation to the church. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Look at verse 14, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. Now look at Galatians 3:29, because this fits in so beautifully. It says, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, Paul received this revelation, and so I want to take you a step further, because it'll take you about 36 years, because that's how long it took me to get this little part of the revelation. Look at Romans 2:28. It says, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is one outwardly in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And so circumcision is not of the flesh, but it is of the heart, and our praise is unto God because of that. So the first time that Jesus shed his blood was in circumcision to fulfill the requirements of the law. And then at Calvary, Jesus would bleed seven other areas from his body to redeem you and me and to provide for our every need. So the second place that Jesus bled was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus prayed with such agony. He's going to the cross. He's going to pay redemption's price. He prayed with such agony that his sweat became like great drops of blood. They became drops of blood, and that's significant because it was in the garden that Adam and Eve failed, and the curse came upon them and came upon us. And God said, you will get everything by the sweat of your brow. So when Jesus turned his sweat into blood, Jesus took the curse, hallelujah, that they had put upon us, having to earn everything that you get, or having to work out your own salvation, or having to work your way into the presence of God. Jesus turned the sweat into blood. He took the curse that Adam and Eve had put upon us, and we don't have to work out our own salvation. Aren't you glad you don't have to raise a lamb or a heifer and sweat and walk and take that thing to some high priest so he can make a sacrifice for you? No, we don't have to strive by the sweat of our brow to see how good we are or to earn our salvation. Jesus paid the price in full. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus took the sweat out of this thing. Hallelujah. Jesus turned the sweat into blood, and he took the curse, and God's supernatural favor came upon our lives because we're in covenant relationship with God Almighty through the everlasting covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You've got God's favor upon you, and God's favor is not temporary. God's favor is for a lifetime. The Bible says it ain't going to do it but a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So if you're headed, I love to preach this. So if you're in a season of weeping, just hold on, because you're headed to your certain season of joy. Go on and praise him for joy unspeakable that's full of glory. I want to tell you something. There is power in the blood. And now the blessings we get, they don't have to come by the sweat of our brow. God knows how to give you sweatless victories. And every victory you get, it doesn't come because of your talents or your gifts or your abilities. Hallelujah. God knows how to give you stuff that other people have to sweat for. He knows how to open doors. He knows how to make deals happen. He knows how to make favor come upon your life. He can pronounce a blessing upon you. Glory to God. He can make good things happen to you, because that's the kind of God we serve. He takes the struggles, your tests, your trials, and he works them all to your good. There's a law called the law of Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So whatever you're going through, raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Glory to God. Heaven is going to fight for you, and heaven is going to fight for me, because we have blood covenant, the everlasting covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He knows how to open doors. He knows how to make everything work out to your good. Glory to God. He's a great God. He knows how to give you favor. That's what I'm trying to say. He knows how to give you sweatless victories through the blood of Jesus Christ. Then Jesus bled from his back. And fourthly, he bled from his face. Look at Isaiah 50:6. Isaiah 50:6. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus said, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheek to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. When they ripped the beard from the face of Jesus, it was an attack of the enemy to humiliate Jesus. And that's what he tries to do to us. You see, in the Middle East culture, when a male did not wear a beard, it was considered a shame. There's a story in the Old Testament where they took David's men and shaved half of their beard off, and they sent them back as an act of humiliation. So when they ripped the beard from off the face of Jesus, they were doing that as an act of humiliation to make him shamefaced. Oh, I thought about our culture. I thought about the people that we come into contact with. Many people today, they are ashamed of themselves. Many young people, they hate how they look. Many older people, they hate what they have done. And they have such a low self-esteem. But when Jesus suffered and bled on his face, it was so you would be unashamed. Hallelujah. It was so you could hold your head up and walk into any circle and not be intimidated and not feel like a second class or a low class person or somebody that doesn't matter. It was so you would not feel ashamed. When they ripped his face and his face began to bleed, it was so you could hold your head up high and say, he made me into somebody. I don't go where I used to go. I don't do what I used to do. Praise God. He's been a change in my life since the Lord laid his hands on me. And when I think about it, I get so happy. I just have to dance and praise and thank him. Glory to God. I tell you what, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. I'm not ashamed, because he took my shame when he bled from his face. And then fourthly, they tied him to the whipping post. and they beat his back. You know, the enemy, he is such a coward that they didn't beat him in the chest, but they beat him in the back. And the back, it represents your past. Listen to me. Your chest is always moving forward, but your back represents your past. So when Jesus bled from his back, it was so that you could be victorious over everything that is behind you. Woo! Did you catch that? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, which walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, and cut an everlasting blood covenant. Go on and praise him for the victories that belong to you. That's why the bondages of yesterday is over, because he bled on his back. The shame of the past is over. The addictions of the past, they are over. The failures of the past, they are behind you, because they beat him on his back. Because he bled from his back, you can say, this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, I press toward the mark. I reach toward the things of God. I press toward that mark in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have made an unqualified committal. Everything that I am belongs to God. Everything I'll ever believe belongs to God. And everything God has belongs to me, because I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm the very righteousness of God. You're his righteousness. Hallelujah. You are holy, holy, holy. You may not feel like it, but once the power of that blood is applied to your heart, if you confess your sin, if you mess up, glory to God, you don't have to die and go to hell. The blood has declared your victory. It is an everlasting blood covenant. Hallelujah. The blood has made you victorious. Glory to God. Oh, Pastor, I wish I could change my past. I wished I could go back and do it all over again. I've had thousands of people tell me that. But since he bled on his back, he has given us victory over everything that is behind us. And I'm reaching forth to that which is before. Hallelujah. Some people, they just don't understand me. They said, how can you be so happy? Well, I think we ought to just all stand and take a praise break. They said, well, you're emotional, Pastor. No, I'm not emotional. I just think about what he's done for me. I think about what he's doing for me. I just have to praise him. I just have to thank him. If I didn't praise God, I believe I would explode. But I've got to say, he's a good God. He's a great God. He's a wonderful Savior. He knows my thoughts, my intents, my lying down, my rising up. And he came to redeem me, and I belong to him. And no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. You are who God said you are. You have what God said you have. And you can do what God said you can do. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm forgiven in Jesus' name, and I'm healed of my past. He took stripes upon his back. By his stripes I'm healed. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wound. He heals us of our sickness. He heals us of our disease. Look at Isaiah 53 and 4, the great redemptive chapter of the Bible. Isaiah saw it 700 years before he was ever born as a baby in a manger. Isaiah telescoped through time, and the Holy Ghost opened this up to him. Says, surely he has borne our griefs. Isaiah 53 and 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Look at verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripe we are healed. They busted his back with a cat of nine tails, and they ripped the flesh from his body. But by his stripes we are healed. He heals cancer. He heals heart disease. He heals arthritis. He heals sugar diabetes. He heals people from stroke. He has conquered every sickness and every disease known to man or will ever be known to man. Hallelujah. He gave his back to the smiters. And then he said, healing is the children's bread. That's the power of the everlasting. I tell you something. There was a whole lot more that happened in that manger. and what God sent to us than most people realize. God loves you. No matter how far down you have gone, there is no place, no sin that His blood cannot reach down and wash it away. That old song said, each drop of blood bought me a million years. A soul was born each time He shed a tear. He loosed the chains that fettered you and me. He bought my soul through death at Calvary. Each drop of blood bought me a million years. A soul was born each time He shed a tear. I'm so glad He came. He loosed the chains. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that fettered you and me. He bought my soul through death at Calvary. Hallelujah. Then the Bible says, fifthly, that a Roman soldier made a crown of thorns and placed it on his head. And they jammed it down on his head. And the blood ran down his face. This was a custom-made crown. And there are custom-made trials that the enemy tries to bring to each of us. And that's why the things that you struggle with, I may not struggle with. They may not be a struggle for me at all. And what I struggle with, you may not struggle with. But sooner or later, I promise you this, if you stay in this thing, the devil will make a custom-made trial for you. The enemy knows what your it is, and he knows where to attack you. And the Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run our race with patience, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, He left nothing out when He went to that cross. He purchased us totally, wholly, completely, so we could be complete in Him. I tell you, I wouldn't let anything hold me in bondage. If I had a habit, if I had to shake for days and weeks, I'd shake and shake and shake. My Uncle Bubba, he's adopted. He's in heaven now. And Teresa and I, we were visiting up there one day. He said, have you noticed anything lately? I said, what's that, Bubba? He said, I haven't had a cigarette in months now. I said, oh, really? He said, Jerry, you'll never believe this. He said, I shook for 3 days. He said, I shook for 3 days, but after 3 days, I was free. He said, I spit up some blood. He'd been smoking since he was a little bitty boy. He said, when I spit that blood up, I knew that thing was killing me. You know what? I would preach to him. He lived in our family. He wasn't saved. But when he was 75 years of age, I went into his room. I said, Bubba, God put you in a family where you could be loved. God put you in a family where you, a Christian home, where you could hear the gospel. And Bubba, I know, and you know you're not saved. Bubba, will you give me the privilege of leading you to Jesus Christ? Heaven won't be the same without you, Bubba. That was the power of the covenant. My mother, my daddy had blood covenant. I had covenant. And Bubba, that was adopted into our family. God said, I will take what you reproduce. He wasn't reproduced by my uncle Peter Donald Reed. No, he was adopted. His mother was dying, and she asked my grandmother. All my grandmother had was blue-eyed babies. She couldn't have a brown-eyed baby. He was number 14. He was born brown-eyed, and she adopted and got her brown-eyed baby. I tell you, God will give you the desires of your heart. Go on, praise Him if you walk in the everlasting blood covenant. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus knows how to take your crisis and how to deal with it. And the very thing that should take you out, He knows how to turn it around and make you a blessing. God has a way of taking the crisis and turning it into a crown. That brings me back to Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Quit whining, quit crying. Say, tell the devil, hey, devil, don't you know I've got an everlasting blood covenant with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Get your hands off my family. Get your hands off my home. Get your hands off my body. Get your hands off my finances. I'm bought with a price. Heaven's greatest treasure was sent to redeem me, and I am who God said I am. I'm somebody. I'm free. For whom the Son makes free is free indeed. You have to shout like that, Pastor. Yeah. Do you know this is the quietest place you will ever be in your life? Hell is going to be groaning, ooh, and weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it'd be so dark you can't see the person next to you. But I'm sure somebody would say, what in the world are you doing here in hell? They don't want us anybody to go there after they go to that awful place. But hallelujah, you don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven because of the everlasting blood cup. It does not matter how low you have been. God loves to take the base things. God likes to take the foolish things. And God likes to turn them into a blessing. That's why he saved me, I believe. I believe there were a lot of other people that he said, I want you to go and preach my word. I want you to go and preach my word. I want you to go. And I just got a heart that's big for God. I said, God, everything I am, I ever will be is yours. And he called me. I wouldn't have chosen me, but he did. He chose me. That's why I love to preach his word. Hallelujah. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my Master. Oh, I don't feel like it sometimes. It has nothing to do with my feeling. It has everything to do with my obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Get over your pity party. Rise up in the power of God and do something for God. Hallelujah. Go on and praise him. Glory to God. I don't know what type of thorn the enemy's custom made for you, but I know this. The devil cannot do anything that God cannot work it out for your good. He can take the thorns and turn them into a crown. Woo! Oh, God. That's what he did for me. Oh, my Lord. And you wouldn't be where you are. You wouldn't have the anointing of God. You wouldn't have his presence if you hadn't had some thorns. How can you know that you're an overcomer if you've never had anything to overcome? Hallelujah. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Thanks be unto God that always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Everything he did it for you. Hallelujah. The enemy may be cursing you right now, but God is crowning you. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. And then the sixth place that he bled from was his hands. When they drove those 9-inch nails into his hands, hands are symbolic of our work, of our jobs, of our careers. And God promised us that I will bless the work of your hands. I will bless what you do for a living. Quit complaining about it. Get in there and get happy. And work and work and work and work. And guess what? Pretty soon you'll get promoted. Amen. And work and work and work. And tell everybody about Jesus. And people begin to respect you. Oh, some people will hate you. But you know those people that used to hate me? They call me up now and say, will you pray for me? I know you're a praying man. I've seen the power of God in your life. I'm going through a trial. Will you please pray for me? I'll never forget the controller that was out there. He was such a hard man. And he was hard on me. He was hard on everybody. But when his son went to Afghanistan, he called me up. He said, Jerry, I know you. You're a praying man. I know you have a praying church. Will you pray for my son? He's in combat. I said, sure I will. And we put his name on the prayer list and we covered him in prayer. Love forgives everything. Glory to God. Don't let the devil hold you in bondage because of an offense somewhere. Learn to forgive. The most powerful word ever spoken was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's the power of the blood. He'll give you victory over everything. Hallelujah. Now, when they enemy drove those nails through the hands of Jesus, those hands were hands through which Jesus had healed. Jesus had opened blinded eyes. Think about what those hands did. Jesus multiplied the fish and the bread and fed the hungry with those hands. The enemy was saying, I'm going to keep you from your work. And I can pin those hands to the cross. You won't be able to work with those hands. I'm so glad that Jesus bled from his hands. And when he did, I'm glad because the blessings of God came upon my work. The blessings of God came upon your work because he bled from those hands. So the blessing can come on your business. The blessings of God can make you prosper. The blessings of God can give you promotion. The blessings of God can make you succeed. His favor is for a lifetime. Get a hold of the kind of God you serve and the power of the blood covenant. Hallelujah. God wants you to glorify him in your work. And guess what? Your work is your pulpit. It's where you tell people about Jesus. It's where you let your light shine before men so they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Go on and praise him that you can call him Father, Father, Father because of the blood. Jesus bled from his hands so that God could bless the work of your hands. And so he could bless everything you lay your hands upon. I tell people, I say, let me lay my hands on you. You know something? Think about this. This thing will preach forever, Lord. I reckon I better land it sometime. When we take Holy Communion, we have the elements, the bread and the wine. And the Bible says that if you're sick, call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil. This oil is just as significant to the prayer of faith as the elements are to Holy Communion. Get you some oil. I carry it in my pocket all the time. Brother Zane, I believe I anointed you with oil that day. Hallelujah. In the parking lot. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Why? Because that oil represents the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. My Lord, what a great Savior we have. And then, seventhly, Jesus bled from his feet. And today he's walking among the golden candlesticks of the church. He walks up and down the aisles of his church, leaving bloody footprints. And when the devil sees the blood, he has to pass over you. The Lord can walk into a crack house and set the captive free. He can walk into a bar and save you. He can get into the clubs and save you and bring you out of the cesspools of sin and iniquity. Some of you, you should have been buried, but bloody footprints, they brought you out. Glory to God. Just when the enemy thought you would never get out, he brought you out. And when I couldn't get out, he came and he carried me out. I was broke. I couldn't get out. I was behind walls from Vietnam, and I wouldn't let you through my walls, but the terrible thing was like Jericho was straightly shut up. None came in and none went out. I couldn't get out. But Jesus cast the eye my way. He said, I'm coming to get you, boy. I'm coming to take you out. And when I couldn't get out, he picked me up in his arms. And he carried me out. And today I'm free. I'm free indeed, praise God, because he came to me and he carried me out. He did the same thing for you. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. Everywhere those bloody footprints go, he brings deliverance. Look at the trials that you've already overcome. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Bible says when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. I love that. Follow me and I'll make you. I'll make you into what you could have been. I'll make you into what you should have been. For I know the thoughts I have for you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give you a future, to give you a hope. To give you an expected end. I read the book and we win. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's even taken the sting out of death. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Lastly, Jesus bled from his side. Why wouldn't the devil leave him alone? He's dead. He has bled from seven different places on his body. And now Jesus is hanging on the cross. And the Bible is very clear. He was dead. Why would the enemy attack a dead man? The Bible says a Roman soldier took a spear and thrust it through his side. And when they jammed that through his side, blood and water poured out. And that takes us back to Genesis chapter 3. Adam fell asleep and God reached into his side and pulled out a rib and formed a bride. And the Bible says that the church is the bride. Woo! I said we're the bride. Yes, we're the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And then they broke the legs of the man on the left side. They broke the legs of the man on the right side of Jesus. And they went to break the legs of Jesus, but they couldn't break his legs. Do you want to know why they couldn't break his legs? They couldn't break his legs because he had some more walking to do. The psalmist prophesied, said, not one of his bones shall be broken. The historians say that the Romans crucified over 10,000 people. And according to their records, they broke the legs of every one of them except for Jesus. Jesus broke the cycle. Jesus broke the cycle. And just because everybody in your family is broke, just because everybody in your family has an addiction, just because everybody in your family is poor, that doesn't mean you gotta be poor. Jesus broke the cycle. Jesus, praise God, has a great God. Just because there's alcoholism and broken marriages, that does not mean you have to be broke. The reason they couldn't break his legs, because he had some more walking to do. When they laid Jesus in the tomb, he got up on the third day, and he went, and he walked through hell for you and me. He conquered the devil. He made a show of him openly. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from him. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I'm so thankful today for that empty tomb. I'm so thankful that the blood is still flowing. Hallelujah. And whatever you need today, his blood declares your victory. Jesus has provided for every need that you have from the wounds that he received. Jesus bled from eight places on his body. The first time was when he was 8 days old. He received the mark of the circumcision. That qualified him as the Son of God and the Son of Man to cut a new and a better covenant with his own precious blood. At Calvary, he bled seven other places, and those wounds that he received, they have provided for your every need. Let us stand. Hallelujah.
What can wash?
We love you, Master.
Away my sin.
Thank you for the marks.
Nothing but the
that you received in your body to provide for every need.
What can make me whole again?
I want you to come to this altar, and I want you to come with a new understanding. It's 12 o'clock. These next few minutes may be the most important minutes you spend. God will speak to you in the altar. The fire is burning on the altar. Let us come, church. Sing it, Pastor Ricky.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. But the blood of Jesus.